Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt, slashing your taxes, and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, who met his wife while training for the 400 meters in Seattle and is eating gluten-free whilst lusting after bread, Dave Denniston.
Hey, my name is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been at a place where you just didn't want to go to work anymore? Maybe you're feeling tired, emotionally callous, worn out, burned out. And I read a statistic the other day that shocked me. 50%. Yup, that's no lie. 50%. One out of every two physicians are burned out today. And in the midst of working for large hospitals and practices, enduring a grueling work schedule, physicians like you are struggling with this more than ever before. That's why I thought I'd bring as a guest Dr. Kim Akins. Before undergoing fellowship training in integrative medicine, Dr. Akins spent 15 years in private internal medicine practice and then went through fellowship training in integrative medicine. And due to her interest in wanting to bring along both integrative medicine and mindful solutions to corporate health, she designed this really cool approach, the Akins approach. And she works with physicians and corporate folks on tackling burnout as well as on career coaching. So I think there's going to be some awesome stuff here for us today. Well, welcome, Kim.
Hi. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me here.
You bet. Glad to have you. So let's kick this off. Tell us a bit about you. I mentioned in the introduction that you are a physician.
Yep.
And now you do what I suggest for many physicians to do. That's awesome. And that's to start your own business. So tell us more about your journey and how you've gotten to where you're at now.
Well, it was kind of like a long, winding road with a lot of corners and turns. As you said, I'm an internist, and I got interested in integrative medicine, so I did a fellowship at the University of Arizona. And that really changed the way I looked at medicine. It changed my paradigm. And following that fellowship, I really couldn't see myself going back into traditional Western medicine. So at that point, I really became interested in how do you provide integrative medicine services to more people, and that led me to my interest in corporate health. And so we designed a mindfulness and resiliency solution for corporations that we called the Akins Approach, and then developed that, researched it at Dow Chemical, and now are delivering that to basically corporations and hospitals.
Well, let me stop you right there. So mindfulness, I mean, to me, that sounds kind of woo-woo, if you will, and it's something that you really seem to hone in on. So what the heck is that? Explain that to me.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, you know, if you're interested, just take a look at Time Magazine from February 2015 because the whole front page is about mindfulness and the whole magazine is about mindfulness. So it's really made its way onto the mainstream. It's about being in the present moment, in the right here, right now, not off in your what happened this morning or what you need to cook for dinner, kind of not worrying about your kids. It's really paying attention to what you are doing right here and right now. You know, we're really mostly living our lives on autopilot. We're always chattering to ourselves. Our thoughts are always going. We really have no idea of what we're saying to ourselves. And mindfulness is more about becoming aware of that tendency, but also about enjoying the present moment and the power in the present moment. So that's a pretty simple explanation. Very well researched in a lot of areas from business through medicine to sports, et cetera. So powerful stuff.
Interesting. Well, you're a physician. You've been through this journey. And what are the top two things that you're seeing physicians struggle with right now?
I think definitely burnout is huge. Exhaustion goes along with that. And then, you know, what I really see a lot is actually fear. I have been a mentor at a non-clinical career conference that's put on every year by an organization called SEEK. And in that, I speak individually to physicians and the 400 physicians that come to that conference. And what I really, really has struck me is the feeling that, wow, gosh, I'm stuck in this. I don't know what to do, but I know that I can't stand this, but I don't know what to do. So it almost seems like people are kind of caught in the headlights, like they're going to get run over, but they don't know where to go. So the fear is really huge that I see, people just not knowing where to turn.
And so do you see that being something that that with this burnout and everything happening out there, I mean, is this something that this concept of mindfulness, being in that present moment, helps to overcome? I mean, help me relate the two in terms of how that might help the burnout side.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, stress is oftentimes about what we're telling ourselves about an event, okay? It's not necessarily about the event itself. It's about the stories we're telling ourselves. So, for example, say you're a golfer, and you go out on the golf course, and you say, and maybe you're in a tournament, and you go, well, I'm going to really mess. The story you tell yourself is, I'm going to mess this up. I'm not playing well. On and on. You know,
you must be talking about me in golf because I suck.
Big one. And so what's going to happen if you're telling yourself that story? You know, you're probably going to be stressed. The competition is stressing
right.
you. You're probably having a
yep.
stress response, and you're probably not going to perform very well. So mindfulness really is helpful because it starts to help us to listen to our head chatter and the stories we're telling ourselves about stressful events, and helps us to assess whether or not those stories we're telling ourselves are true or beneficial, and then gives us techniques to work with those. So like in burnout, for example, a person I was coaching, and the story they were telling themselves is, this will never change. I'm never going to get out of this. You know, I can't cope with this. All these underlying stories. And we really had to start to listen to the mind chatter, to become mindful of the thoughts and the mind chatter in order to say, well, is that true? Are you really never going to get out of this? You know, is there really nothing you can do? And those underlying stories were not necessarily true. So it's uncovering those that the mindfulness piece really helps with.
So in this particular example you brought up, if someone says, I'm never going to get out of this, mm-hmm. what kind of thing was that? You know, was that a financial challenge? Was that because of debt or something? Or was it because that they felt they had to make a certain amount of money due to their spending? Or what was behind that?
Well, I think that's part of it. Certainly people, physicians who are, you know, I've seen a couple different kinds of things, particularly physicians who tend to be older. You know, they've accumulated a lot of things, right? They're worrying about mm-hmm. their retirement. Mm-hmm. They don't really know what to do. So certainly I think the financial piece, particularly for older physicians, as I've seen, is you know, definitely a story, the underlying story that they tell themselves, that I can't make a move because of finances. That's not necessarily true. I mean, that has not necessarily been analyzed. If that's the underlying story they're telling themselves, then the mindfulness work can help to uncover that, and then they can go to a financial planner, and that's what you do, right? You know, to mm-hmm. determine if that's right or not. Now, on the other hand, the other story that they can tell themselves is, there's nothing else I can do. I'm not trained for anything else. You know, I don't know where to turn. And that might be the other underlying fear story. There's a lot of fear that's going on that may or may not be grounded, that needs to be uncovered. The mindfulness piece can also, though, you know, really help you to give you techniques for actually when you're under stressful situations, when you're working with burnout, to actually have better coping skills and resiliency in terms of bouncing back in tough times.
So can you give me an example? You know, what is something in order to practice this mindfulness that someone would do in order to overcome that fear?
Well, like I said, first you got to understand what is underlying the fear, what kind of mind chatter and what kind of thought process that's underlying the fear. And then someone can, once they start to realize that, they can say, hey, is this true or not? You know, is this helpful to me or not? And then release that mind chatter once it's kind of acknowledged and understood. But the really interesting thing is that when you're working with fear, and I really do think a lot of burnout and the reason people can't move forward is that there is a fear factor. It's to simply recognize that the emotion, underlying emotion, is fear. You know, I'll tell you a story about myself. When I was making this move into starting my own company, frankly, it was scary. I mean, really scary. And it was understanding that emotion. I didn't recognize it at first. It was definitely affecting what I was doing, but I didn't recognize it. And when I finally recognized it through some of the mindfulness work, so I have a better grasp at really being able to kind of recognize my emotions, when I was able to finally say, hey, I'm afraid, well, okay, I'm afraid. That's okay. Let's move forward anyway. You know, that's also where it can help.
So can you give me two or three examples of where physicians that overcome burnout, and what was that like, you know, as they went through kind of these mindfulness techniques?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not just the mindfulness. I think that that's a really big piece that can improve coping skill sets and lead to awareness in many, many ways and insight that can really be helpful. But coaching, I think, is also another way that can really help physicians kind of get past this blockade. So I use both those things together, actual mindfulness training for physicians in terms of building their resiliency, helping them work with burnout, and also coaching to determine, well, where do I want to go? What do I want to do? So I'll give you some examples, some people I've worked with. There was, for example, a gastroenterologist, and she had a research career, and, you know, she was burned out. And by that I mean there's some real characteristics of burnout: emotional exhaustion, real loss of life satisfaction, loss of work-life balance, loss of meaning and purpose. And she had really lost, you know, her interest, meaning and purpose. She was just exhausted. So we really worked a lot through coaching on uncovering what she wanted to do, and that could be, you know, a long-term process involving life and career coaching. And so she ended up staying in research, but going back to business school. And then she left her research position in the end and started a neurology / sleep center initially here. And interestingly, cool. Now she's actually doing one in Dubois. So she actually went and built a sleep center in Dubois where there aren't any sleep centers. And she's also starting a wellness center in the United States. So you can really do some interesting stuff. Another person that I coached was a cardiologist, and he was, you know, super burned out, as many cardiologists are, but really didn't really want to get out of medicine. So he wanted to stay in medicine, and we worked quite a bit, and skiing was his passion. I mean, I think you really have to take a look at where are your passions, you know, and what are you doing with those, especially if you want to stay in medicine itself. You know, you need to find ways to kind of rejuvenate yourself, to get rid of that emotional exhaustion, to find meaning and purpose again. And skiing was a thing. And he actually said, hey, I want to take 3 months off a year. And he now goes out west and skis for 2 months a year and still has a full-time cardiology practice. I mean, yeah, he took a pay cut, but, you know, he's much happier and the burnout is much more manageable now. So you can make decisions to leave medicine, but you can also make decisions to find ways to stay in medicine. But that takes some real exploration and digging deep and finding out where are your values, where are your passions, you know, and what kind of strategies can you use to overcome the burnout and, you know, and get stronger.
Well, and I often say, you know, you got to try and have a vision with a map of where you want to go. And it sounds like that's where you're coming from, of the first thing you want to do is understand where you want to go. And perhaps there's people out there that just aren't sure of that. And what you're saying is really think about what your passions are. Am I capturing that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And your values. You know, a lot of times when we have burnout and stress in careers, it's because your values, what you value, is not matching what's in the workplace. And I think we have to understand what are our values. You know, do we value flexibility? Do we value recreational time? Do we value money? Do we value a creative work environment? What are those values? And starting to understand those and see where the mismatch is within your career and within your workplace, and then finding ways to rectify those if you can. And if you can't, then finding a way to move forward and maybe move out. As well as finding the passions and the things that rejuvenate you. A lot of physicians really have trouble with work-life balance, so finding the time to, like that cardiologist did, to take the 2 to 3 months and go skiing so that he can do a better job when he is a physician.
Do you find that most workplaces are amenable to those kind of changes? I mean, you know, I would think if I'm an employer, I want my employees around, right? And I want them around at least three-quarters of the time.
Right.
Do you have those kind of conflicts that come up, or tell us about those kind of challenges?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a challenge. I think it depends. You know, this cardiologist had been in his position for quite some time. He was valued. And so he, you know, they just accepted that. But, you know, of course, the employer's going to say, hey, you need a career cut. We need to give you a pay cut.
Right.
But that was okay with him. In another instance, there's a woman I coached who was an orthopedic surgeon, and she was feeling stymied, not happy in her workplace, so she started to take trips all over the place, 2 to 3 weeks at a time. And she shared with me, there's some orthopedic surgeons in this academic practice that aren't real happy about that, you know. But it works for her, and she does it, and she maintains a work-life balance. So I think we can do much more with this than the stories in our head, and that's where I think it's really important to understand the stories that play in your head are telling us that we can do. But, you
Love
know,
it.
There's some challenges, certainly, but not that are insurmountable.
Okay. Very good, very good. Well, you know, we've been talking about coaching people, and one of these big trends with burnout that I've seen a lot is there's folks like yourself that are coaching physicians on burnout and coaching them in their career. So obviously you're a little bit prejudiced here, but just let's just be real for a second. How can someone know a good coach from a bad coach?
Yeah, that's a super, super question. Well, first of all, I think if you're a physician and you're looking at getting coaching or being coached by someone, I think you should need to really look at their training. Coaching is definitely a skill set, because what coaching is a true partnership between the coach and the client where they're on equal footing. So the coach is kind of the facilitator of the client's goals and the client's kind of internal thinking and internal strategizing. And that takes real skill to be able to develop, to partner in that way with client, to be able to ask the kind of powerful questions that are, you know, going to pull the answers, you know, that are already internal to the physician or the client out. And so that takes training. And so I think that the first thing that if someone's looking for coaching is they need to look at what the training is of the person who says they're a coach, because a lot of people say that they're coaching, but they don't have any of this training. So
what is that training? So help us understand what kind of training are you talking about?
Absolutely. So the International Coach Federation is the premier coaching society, basically, in the United States. And there are programs that are accredited by the International Coach Federation or the ICF. So you want someone who's really gone through that kind of program. I think that, too, you know, some coaches are hugely skilled, but they've been doing it for 20 to 30 years. So if you can find a coach that's been doing it for 20 to 30 years, you know, and is a master's coach with the ICF, most likely you're going to have someone really top-notch. But those people are a little bit hard to come by. I mean, they're, you know, it's like the top academic medicine doctor, right? You know, or the tenured professor. But so there are different levels within the ICF, but certainly you want someone who's gone through a coaching program that's accredited by the International Coach Federation.
Okay, interesting. And why do you think that is so important? Just because of the techniques that you're mentioning? Or what separates them out versus someone that is doing it without having those credentials?
Yeah, coaching is a process. It's actually very different than anything, you know, most people or doctors in actually do. So when you're a coach and you're working with a client, you are not the authority. You know, it's not like your normal doctor-patient relationship where the doctor is the authority and the patient listens to the doctor and does hopefully maybe what the doctor says. You are in a true partnership, and you are actually working with that physician or with that coach to find answers together. So you're not acting as a consultant. So that's the key crux of that. And that takes, you know, as I've done the coach education program, I've been super, super impressed with the skill set that goes into that. It's pretty profound. And you can tell, like, beginner coaches from the teachers who are super proficient at this, there is just night and day difference. So the training is really important. You just don't learn that about that relationship, about really being able to listen to someone in a way that's really helpful to them, you know, just intuitively. I mean, some people may be intuitively better than others, but it's still a training process, just like being a doctor is a training process.
Yeah, I guess what I'd point out, I kind of deserve to make a metaphor to kind of my own situation. There are financial advisors out there. Someone can be brand new, and you may not necessarily know it.
Yeah.
But when you look at a couple of particular credentials like CFA, like I have, or CFP, or someone's a CPA, you know that they have a degree of training. Does that mean just because they have the credentials that they're awesome? Well, not necessarily, but at least they've been through some rigor and training that the new Joe Blow off the street hasn't.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And so there are a lot of people, it's kind of like anything, you know, you can say you're coaching people, but you really haven't, anyone can say that, you know, but you don't necessarily have that credential, so, or that training. So, I mean, I just would say buyer beware on that regard. There's some really good coaches out there, but, you know, still, you just got to check the credentials.
Got it. Well, I personally believe successful people learn from their mistakes, but super successful people learn from others' mistakes. So what are two or three lessons that you'd like to pass on to other physicians today?
The first one that comes off the top of my head is feel the fear and do it anyway. This is a scary process. If you're thinking of making change, change is never easy. Whether it's change within your workplace or change going to a new career, starting a new business, you know, it's never easy. And so, again, fear can stop us. And I would just say walk through that. You know, feel the fear and do it anyway. That's, you know, I think the biggest recommendation I can give.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. Got it.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is that don't, you know, we're trained as doctors to, we're super goal-oriented. You do X, Y, and Z that will get you to X, Y, and Z that will get you to, right? You know,
yeah.
Very goal-oriented, very linear. And I think that the other recommendation I would say is to broaden, become more open, be willing to explore, be willing to take twists or turns, because who knows where a twist or turn may take you. It may not be so linear a route. And that, again, may be frightening to doctors, but I would be open to that anyway. So the other recommendation would be just be open to new experiences and twists and turns in your path.
That's good.
Professional help would be my other piece of advice.
Okay. Good. Well, one of the other big things that I like to emphasize, Kim, is besides any of your own materials, what are some good resources regarding strengthening our inner selves as well as our careers that you would recommend to residents or fellows or practicing physicians? Maybe a couple of good books or videos or DVDs or whatever that they could check out.
Yeah. Well, one thing I would recommend is, you know, if you're thinking about non-clinical careers, a good resource is that SEEK non-clinical career conference. It just was last weekend in Chicago, so there's not going to be another one for another year. But that is a really good conference to kind of open your eyes to what's out there. It doesn't necessarily tell you how to get there, but it just gives you a lot of ideas as to what non-clinical things are out there. I would say take a mindfulness course or work with someone who's had mindfulness training. A couple books I might suggest is Resilience. That's a good book on resiliency by Stephen Southwick.
Okay.
I think What Happy People Know, I don't know if you've ever read that book, Dave, but that's by Dan Baker.
I'm going to check one it out.
That that one's a really good one. He's from Canyon Ranch. And then another good book that I think is a really kind of eye-opener for doctors is The 4-Hour Work Week. Have you ever heard of that one?
Tim Ferriss, right?
Yeah. And that can just be a kind of open your mind to possibilities, get you thinking outside the box kind of book.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of interesting. So those are some books.
Awesome.
Videos,
okay.
I don't really know. I think that this though is a tough area to do, a tough thing to do on your own. You're going to be making changes either, you know, your personal life, your professional life. If you want to stay, if you really feel like you're burned out and you want to stay in medicine, you're certainly going to be making changes if you decide to go kind of a different route. So
yeah.
I would definitely say working with somebody to help you, you know, kind of walk that path is important because, as I said, it's not an easy road. And can be quite circuitous. Did I say it right?
Well, and sometimes, and I find this with a lot of clients, sometimes you just need to talk it out and someone to ask the tough questions. Not that you necessarily couldn't figure it out on your own, but I find it often speeds up the process, or you get a new perspective on things that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten.
Absolutely. Yep. Totally.
Well, there's so much more. We just don't have time to cover, and I just would love to have you think of any closing thoughts that you would like to leave with our audience today.
Any closing thoughts? You know, I think the closing thought is that I think that there are many solutions. I think we get into this place where we feel burned out, and we kind of go, and we get depressed, we get anxious. Certainly that's associated with, you know, substance abuse. It's all associated with burnout. But there are solutions. There really are solutions. You know, it is fixable in some way. And the answers are inside of us. We just need to find them. So I just would say, you know, keep some optimism, be open, be willing to explore new things, to explore your values, to explore your passions, and be patient with the process, because it will be a process. So
awesome.
There you go.
I thought that was great. Great, great suggestions. And just thank you so much for being with us, Kim. If people have more questions, how can they find you? How can they get in contact with you?
Well, I have two websites. One website is AikensApproach.com, and that's my mindfulness, corporate mindfulness website. And then I have PursuitHealth.com. So they can take a look at either of those, or they can give me an email at Kim@AikensApproach.com. And that's AIKENS is how you spell my last name. So,
wonderful. Well, thank you again so much. And if you're a physician or you're someone else servicing physicians, want to tell your story, grappling with tough issues like these ones, and you want to get on the soapbox here for a few minutes, I'd love to share it too in the next Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Make sure to contact me at dave@daviddeniston.com or on the website drfreedompodcast.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and check in again soon. Have a good one.